T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Maloney, Mego, and Thompson. Kyrie Thompson, the man himself, WEI.com, now joins us. Kyrie, what's up, man?
It's all good, man. You know, it's funny. You mentioned we got the Little League World Series off on the, side monitor.
Massachusetts
here.
Playing Tennessee.
Yeah, and you were talking about, like, oh, yeah, this kid's, like, around my son's age or something like that. And it's like, the son that racks up all the Madden bills.
Oh, you heard that.
Yes, I did.
You heard about it, too, right?
He's playing, got the best rosters in the neighborhood, though.
He was playing Madden when I got home.
I only get 1,000 subs per game, and to get, 99 Stanton, I need 150, so...
So there you go.
Gotta get that 99.
I walked in. He's like, Dad, come here. I'm like, what's up? And he started. He's like, look how cool it is. Kid's playing Madden. And he's got this smirk in his face. I'm like, we'll talk later.
I'm sorry. It's like, you better earn those points.
Yeah, right?
Like in 2K and stuff like that, you better just keep on playing that game and earn them points on your own.
I'm with you there.
Kyrie, can we interest you in any fresh Mediterranean food in the corner of the studio?
So by fresh?
It's yogurt that's been sitting in open containers for 32 hours.
32 hours?
Yeah. From the morning show. It's attracting flies now. They're landing on my computer.
Yeah, I saw some buzzing around over
it's
there.
Gross.
So
I'm
not going to lie. So I came in the studio and I was like, something smells kind of decent. And then the whole 32 hours thing, I'm going to have to pass
it's
on that.
It's fermenting in the corner.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say no. I'm not even going to bother tasting it.
So,
but thank you. Yeah. I appreciate the offer.
All right, let's get your take on what you saw the last couple of days. Let's start with just, I guess, the little fights, all the fights that have been going on down there. It's not very common. We don't rarely see these in joint practice. We understand how it could happen, but... seems somewhat disruptive on what these teams are trying to accomplish, especially early in both practices.
Little bit. And, I mean, really, it was a product to me of, and Andy Hart mentioned this a little bit on the afternoon show when we were on our hit together, that the Panthers, I think, were playing a slightly above the intensity level that I think the Patriots were. I think
Is that a problem?
You mean, like, physically?
No. Not physically, because I think the Patriots were the better team, but they were talking more, they were chirping, and they were yucking it up and stuff like that on the sidelines and bringing more energy in that way. Mm-hmm. And whereas I think the Patriots were like, okay, let's just play ball, let's do this thing. And so yesterday, Christian Wilkerson gets involved with Kenny Robinson. So that was an issue where, they had been kind of jawing a little bit. Wilkerson catches the ball, goes out of bounds. And one of the Panthers' assistant coaches apparently put hands on Wilkerson. He got mad about that, obviously, turned around and said something. And that's what touched off that whole thing. And then today it was Kenny Robinson hitting Christian Wilkerson, from what I've heard varying reports about it. Some said it was a blindside hit. Some said it was clean. Matthew Slater said it was clean after practice. But then he stands over Christian
Thompson.
Wilkerson. And that was not cool with
was
Slater
a clean hit.
And the rest of the team.
We were saying that earlier. We saw the video. It wouldn't have been flagged at all in a regular season game. I think it was just Christian McCaffrey in the first play, star, going to the sideline and just thinking that the intensity wasn't going to be there, and next thing you know, he gets popped, but it was clean.
Yeah, and then that's the big hit, right? So the kickoff thing with Wilkerson happened just before that.
Right.
And
then they
the
switched
the
teams.
He's
in
the hospital right now, reportedly.
Yeah, that's
with
what,
a head injury.
And the weird thing about it, right, is that Wilkerson wasn't even off the field when the second fight happens. Like, they were still attending to him. Like, the trainers are all around him trying to get him up, get him on a cart, get him off the field, and then just ruckus, just erupts, right? Dietrich Wise, hits Christian McCaffrey, though I think we've seen it's not out of bounds, and I got a clear view of it. It was like the parting of the Red Sea somehow, and I just see McCaffrey turn and gun this ball, at Wise, and then just boom, it was all over from there. And you know what I heard? What's sticking with me is that this happened on the field right in front of the bleachers. And then on the other field, the offense and the Patriots offense and Panthers first team defense hadn't started yet. And Ty Montgomery could just be heard yelling like, what the bleep are we doing? Like let's just bleeping play ball, man. Like what
you
are you doing?
Say it.
Like
no, he
was
the words.
He was just he was pissed.
Yeah.
Like and I think that was a sentiment shared by a bunch of the Patriots players. It's just like, dude, why are we doing this again?
We got another one. We got another one.
We were saying how, like, you know, Mac after the game is like, you know, after practice was talking about Bill. You know, Bill sent us a message to us about how, you know, we can't be getting fights and stuff. And I'm like, okay, but then you came back the next day and did the same thing. And maybe, and a lot of people thinking it wasn't maybe started there, like you mentioned, that intensity maybe came more from the Carolina side. Of course, the Patriots, you know, blaming Carolina for it, but the more people you hear from, it sounds like that's where it came from.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, again, the way that they were talking, it really started in 7-on-7s yesterday, I would say, where the Panthers were definitely going in there trying to rake the ball out of you know, the tight end's hands, some of the receiver's hands.
Out.
They were punching it out, and they were getting
Which
excited.
Which personally offends Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah. Not want to see balls on the ground. Kendrick Bourne got sniped at by Belichick because of a uniform violation. He gets pulled off the field. It's like all this stuff is happening
in a couple of minutes. Hold on.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps saying that a uniform violation. Like, what is that?
I have no idea.
Have his mouth
socks down
or something? Like, what is that?
Honestly, I have no clue.
Because it sounded like Bill got significantly pissed off at Kendrick Bourne yesterday.
Yeah, so,
even before he got kicked out for fighting.
Right, yeah. So I didn't see when he got pulled off the field, but I'm just like looking down and making notes, and then I can hear Belichick screaming, like, if you're not going to make a play, like, don't bother coming out here. And I was like, where's that coming from? And they said it was because of Kendrick Bourne, and then literally like 2 minutes later, he's kicked out of practice for the
fight.
Let's start there.
Okay, so you weren't watching, is what you're saying.
No,
I just go there and I hang out.
I want to start then.
It's not a bad place to hang out. It's a little hot.
Get a little sun.
So let's start with Kendrick Bourne, right? We'll get into a lot of here with you in the next couple hours, but this is a guy that all offseason, we say the Patriots, before they got Devontae Parker, who I think we all like, and there's some injury history there, you know, sort of lacking that number one guy, there's depth. And is there a guy that can step into it? And it was always Kendrick Bourne. 55 catches, 800 yards, playmaker, get the ball in his hands, Deebo Samuel light. This is the guy. It has been an extremely quiet camp for Bourne. He's getting thrown out of practice, getting yelled at by Coach Belichick. Today he's working with the twos out of the gate. And we're looking at Nelson Agholor as the guy that could potentially be moved when Kendrick Bourne has the contract that actually can be moved.
Yeah,
and we always talk about shocking, surprising moves by the New England Patriots. Could he be that one, that shocking move here at camp, Kendrick Bourne?
You know what's interesting? Because Doug Kyde, when he was talking to a couple people from around the league, the idea that maybe one of these veteran receivers gets moved because Tyquan Thornton is continuing to come up. And I mean, every single day.
Oh, we should have asked him that.
Yeah.
we had him on an hour ago.
it's like every single day he's doing something that's doing something good. And so he was like, okay, maybe Nelson Agholor is the one that's being talked about. But he's like, yeah, but if you did move on from one of these other guys, like, you could still save money off of that. And I kind of, you know, put it off to the side for a moment. But, I mean, I've also heard that, like, oh, yeah, Jacoby Myers has a very movable contract as well. And that kind of, even though he just signed the tender. But I feel like with Bourne, when I watch him out there right now, he just is not very dynamic. Like, even in one-on-ones, he's not separating. He looks kind of slow. And then it kind of harkens last year to me where it seemed like he was slow to pick up the playbook. He was running the wrong routes in some cases. But obviously, he came on, and it was a process for him. I don't know if that's a similar thing right now. And then just when the season starts, he's going to turn it on. But right now, he just doesn't look quite right to me.
It's all about the salary, right? Like Agholor, $9 million. You know, Pats could eat some of it. So it's like, who's going to sign a guy with a base salary of $9 million who's been a disappointment? Well, Bourne is $3.5 million base salary. And you could save $5 million in the cap if you trade him now.
Very, very team-friendly deal.
I mean, that is, you know, team looking for a wide receiver, so maybe it doesn't work here, but he's been around the league enough and popped last year, even the year before. It's why you brought him in, for some team to be very interested in. If Tyquan Thornton shows up, and if they all got to stay healthy, right? Wilkerson, we don't know, but if there's another injury with a wide receiver, nothing's going to happen. But if everybody stays healthy and you're in that last week of camp, it almost seems like there's one too many guy.
Well, I mean,
if Thornton can play.
And I think we saw this a little bit last year with the running back room, right? Everybody was coming into this healthy, and you had a glut of players, and then, oh, guess what? Sony Michel's gone.
Exactly.
And that was your signal to me that Ramondre Stevenson was going to be a player. And I feel like I saw a little bit of similarity in the trajectories of those two guys. Everybody insisted last year that Ramondre Stevenson wasn't going to play. He was going to get the red shirt. I watched him play, and I was like, I don't know about that. I think he can play. I'm getting that very same impression of Tyquan Thornton. And with Bourne's case in particular, the idea that, I don't know, maybe that's a surprise move, I'm inclined to believe, at least for now, that none of the receivers get moved, especially because of the injury thing. Like, you got Devontae Parker, but you have no guarantee he's going to last 17 games. As a matter of fact, history is very, very much against that.
Yeah.
You know, but if there's one... I think if there's one thing that Bill Belichick is not about, and this is something you're not seeing from any of the other wide receivers, but you are seeing it a bit from Kendrick Bourne, the focus, right? And just the little things that are keeping you off the football field and keeping you from being productive seem to be plaguing and affecting him and not any of the rest of those top receivers.
Hmm.
So that, I don't know.
Can I ask you
I can't
you
understand what's going on with him.
Answer this honestly. Did you listen to any of his album that he put out?
I did
Kendrick
not.
Bourne?
I didn't did
even you
know
he put out an album?
No,
yeah, he put
I did
out
not.
A Christian music album like a week ago.
No, I did
he
not.
He goes by KB on it.
Interesting. So I did know that he's very you know Christian. I can see his tweets about it and you know some of the stuff he puts on social media. I have listened to Marcus Jones's music.
Marcus Jones has music?
Yeah. Marcus.
These guys are talented.
Yeah, Marcus
off
Jones.
The field.
Yeah, Marcus Jones had a song. I found out about it during the combine. Yeah.
What kind?
You know, kind of like.
Is it like R&B?
I'd say it's like hip hop sort of stuff,
okay.
like kind of sing
rapping?
Song.
Find it, Ryan.
I would say kind of like sing songy hip hop or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if
is
he
it
was
like
singing the chorus or whatever. I can't remember it right offhand. It was kind of like mainstream, you know, hip hop kind of stuff.
I got it right here.
You have
That's
it.
That's why men cry for women. That's why. Women.
No, oh, I'm sorry. This is Ray
no,
Lewis.
That's Ray
rap.
Lewis.
Oh, this is Ray.
That's
I was
Ray
about
Lewis.
To say,
sorry, that's Ray Lewis. Yeah.
I was like, that ain't no Tomorrow Marcus Jones.
Yeah, this is definitely more of a DMX era.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not that.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm pretty sure it's Marcus Lewis. Jones. It's one of them draft picks. I'm like 98% sure. It was
I had
Marcus
no idea.
Jones.
I just know that Kendrick Bourne put a record out on, I think, Spotify like a week ago.
I
might check KB.
I don't know. I might check.
Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, your producer has come through for you. I got it.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. This is
no,
Antonio
that's
Brown.
Antonio Brown. God,
dang it, I'm going to get it.
Brown. We got to find it. So, Tyquan Thornton, right?
Yes.
Looks like everything's saying you actually have a guy that can play. You actually might have drafted a wide receiver that could actually play in this league. Is it just the speedster? Like, what are you seeing from him? Because it seems like he's getting off the line and you hear a lot of stories burning this guy, burning that guy, being able to get off the line well.
Now, I mean, the main attraction is obviously when he gets a step on you, that's it. You're done. You might as well just go ahead and line up for the next play because you're not catching him. But I think the thing that's really been impressive to me, first of all, is hands. He catches everything. Like, everything.
Did he have big paws?
He doesn't, which is the interesting thing. He has, like, relatively small hands, the tiny wrists and the small hands coming out of the combine.
Hey, you don't have to be mean about it.
Yeah, but like, that's what everybody talks about, right? But when the ball hits his hands, it ain't falling to the ground. Like, you can rake it out, you try to do whatever, but he's got control. And I've also found it really interesting how good he's been getting at the top of his routes. The breaks that he makes, he's very got very quick feet. People talked about, oh, he didn't have a great three cone. His feet's quick, and his acceleration is quick, and he's starting to get the nuances of making moves with his shoulders, with his hips, and like kind of doing misdirection, and it really, like the suddenness of those movements catch cornerbacks off guard, and then again, once he gets a step, it's trouble. So I think that he's done a very nice job of rounding himself into a real wide receiver in just a short period of time.
Nice. All right, Ryan, do we actually have the Marcus Jones song?
Of course, I got it right here.
Y'all must have forgot.
I'm sorry, this is Roy Jones Jr.
Can you just find it?
I'll look.
All right, listen, we come back. Kyrie Thompson, WEI.com. He continues to stay here with us. We continue to talk Pats and what he saw. And one area that really didn't think, too many people thought was an area of concern, coming into camp just might be. And that's the offensive line. We'll talk about it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
I mean, we done had our miscommunications, complications, everything that you could think of. I'm really different from them other dudes you used to mess with. And if I think something's worth it, then I'ma go get it. Point blank, period. You got your flaws, I got mine, but that don't mean that we can't be together. I don't wanna waste your time, and I damn sure don't want you to waste mine. But check this out.
The only thing is the distance. I'd be lying if I said it that list, I don't miss it.
This is it. Complications.
All the time, so it's hard.
Marcus
to
Jones, a.k.a. Elliot J.
Elliot
what he goes by?
Yep.
Is this how it goes the whole time?
Yeah, that's about it.
Is he singing?
Oh, here we go. There's a beat.
He just rap.
This is singing.
It's not singing. It's rapping.
This is weird. I'm going to go on record and say I don't like this.
I'm going to go on record and say that we're the first Boston station to break this classic track. Good for us.
I think we should include it in all of our, you know, comeback music.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like
I don't even... The Twitch chat wants us to dance to this, but I don't even know how you dance. It sounds like...
I don't think they want me or Kyrie to dance.
It sounds like somebody put a walkie-talkie in an aquarium or something.
I feel like I need more drums. Yeah, I think I need drums with this. Right now, we only got
more
bass. Yeah,
No.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, it's hard to dance with no drums.
You know what? Once Kanye started doing auto-tune, the whole world fell apart.
Yeah.
Essentially. This is not good.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not a...
Did you just drop that drum in there, or is that part of the song?
By the way, it's already over.
Oh, it's
That was it?
That was the whole song.
Quick track.
There's more, though.
Do you guys want to hear it again?
No.
I'm cool. I will confirm, though.
Makes
Marcus,
me feel old.
Marcus Jones, better cornerback than musical artist.
Nice. All right, let me get your take.
Oh, is that another one of his songs?
Let me get your take, Kyrie, on the offensive line. So it seemed like early in camp, 7-on-7 seemed to be okay. The minute 11-on-11 started in the offensive line. Now, you can credit the D-line because they've looked really good. Or lack of communication, new scheme. Isaiah Wynn hasn't been there. The depth was in question coming into camp. It's being tested early. Where are you on this offensive line that we all thought was going to be, you know, a strength of this team?
Weirdly enough, the last couple of days, I would say the performance has been flipped, where 7-on-7s have looked like more of a chore for the Patriots offense, and the team segments have actually been pretty decent. They're still definitely a work in progress on running the football. One thing that had been noted during the preseason game last week was that with, you know, Riyadh Nika-Joost and you know, whoever was playing tackle, they were having some trouble, getting to the second level on those outside zones. So sometimes you have, like, players, you know, shooting gaps backside and bringing people down. They've gotten a little bit better at that over the last couple of days. You actually saw a couple runs today, in fact, where it was like, okay, that's how it's supposed to look. Like, that's actually 5 yards before the running back's getting touched. I like this.
Yeah. You actually saw some holes because we've been hearing how, like, you know, the holes haven't been there for some running backs, and you know, you're worried because that's one of your strengths as well, like the running backs.
Supposed
to be. Yeah, and you want, you know, no good, greatest running back in the NFL got a horrible line. They're not going to be that good.
No, indeed. And I think there have definitely been some more holes, though. It's funny, Damian Harris was asked by Evan Lazar at Patriots.com yesterday, like, do you feel like you've got, you know, space to run the ball? And he was just kind of like, it's a good question.
I heard
you kind of stumped me on that. And I'm like, that's not what you want to hear.
Right.
I will say that while running the football is still pretty inconsistent, and I would say probably more consistently on the not as good side than the good side, the pass protection's gotten quite a bit better. There were a bunch of plays today where Mac Jones was, again, pulling it down and scrambling a bit more. But I think, again, those were maybe more in the realm of coverage sacks than protection breakdowns. I think the communication has looked better on the offensive line where the play action stuff that they were running, it was ghastly last week, gotten a lot better in these last couple days. I saw them passing off stunts and looking like really smooth with it. And that allowed Mac Jones to test the field a little bit more and get the ball down the field. And so I think that they've definitely taken a step up the last couple days. It's still not 100% where you would like it to be, but you can say that they have gotten at least 1% better over the past couple of days.
Okay, 1% is not very much.
No.
I do want to say, so we heard from, I think it was Giardi yesterday, and I think Andrew Callahan doubled down on it, said that Mac looked the best in the first day of joint practices that he's looked all summer. Do you agree with that? How is he looking today?
So I think that over the last couple of days, he's definitely looked a bit more like the old Mac Jones that we're used to seeing. And I think that particularly yesterday, he was feeling himself. I think they've started off the last couple of practices hot and really completing a bunch of passes. He looks smooth. And one play that I really liked, actually, was the second play they did in team segments yesterday. They did one of those boot play action rollouts.
Mm-hmm.
Mac looked nice. I really liked his footwork on that and the way he delivered the ball. And he was being aggressive, and I think that's one of the hallmarks of it, is him being more aggressive than he was last season. He was definitely pushing it. Today, again, I think it was a little bit more of a challenge just from a coverage standpoint. He had to pull it down and run a little bit more. But I think just in terms of how he was delivering the football, yeah, he looked good again. There were just some gorgeous touch passes to Nelson Agholor in the end zone. He had a nice one to Jonnu Smith. And of course, he's been finding Jakobi Meyers all over the place. So I feel like he's looked as comfortable these last couple of days as he did at the beginning of training camp before everything kind of started going to hell. So I think that's definitely a step in the right direction.
So a lot of talk, you know, about new scheme and kind of upgrading or getting with the times. I think Kendrick Bourne called it dope, you know, as far as like getting the offensive guys into action, the playmakers, right?
Yeah.
So have you seen that? Have you watched practice and said, man, this just looks differently? Route running, what a lot of action, different things you're seeing offensively compared to in the past.
Well, I would say that for sure, some of the confusion in the protections and in the route running has kind of manifested itself. There were two straight plays for like Tyquan Thornton and Devontae Parker were in the wrong place. And then the next play was like Nelson Agholor and Jonnu Smith were in the same area. And those were a couple of straight incompletions. But you want to talk about somebody who's been benefiting from this? It's been Agholor.
Is your buy-in there? Because I've seen a lot of people over these joint practices, kind of like Jalen Mills on the other side, say Nelson Agholor looks like a wide receiver one. Like, he looks really good compared to how he looked during the season last year, which was not good.
No, and again, I think that part of the issue with Agholor last year was that the lack of depth at wide receiver forced him to play a role that he was not meant for, which is stick you on the outside and be an X receiver. That's not him. What they've been doing with him now, and one of his touchdowns came off of this, they put him in the slot, or they move him around, they motion him around and try to get him a favorable matchup. And I'll tell you what, in one-on-ones, they can't hold this dude.
So he's going to be the slot guy?
I think
potentially?
A slot guy.
Okay.
I mean, I think that essentially what you've got right here is you've got, you know, Devontae Parker, which is, he is meant to be, stick him on the outside and, you know, contest
the
catches
fella.
And do
that.
Yes,
big fella.
That is his role. And I think basically all these other guys are going to be tight splits, or they're going to be moving around the formations and trying to get them space to operate. And I think Agholor has looked the deadliest of any of those guys when he has space, because he's quick, he's fast, his moves are so twitchy. Like, these cornerbacks just cannot stick with him because he knows exactly what he is going to do. And by the time he gets out of his break, they can't handle it. And his getting the ball out of the air, that was something he was not
like
very good at.
Not
very good at last year at all. He went up over like three guys to get that second touchdown that he had. I thought that pass was destined to either get knocked down or picked off. And there goes Aguilar up over everybody, including J.C. Horn, like their best cornerback. And he's catching a touchdown pass. Like that was a wow play from him that we have not really been seeing. So I think that the way they've been using him, I think, is giving him a lot of confidence. And I mean, Mac Jones has been trusting him in that big 2-minute drive, like towards the end of practice that they had the last time the one offense was on the field. Nelson Aguilar was the recipient of the first two targets.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he say Mac after practice today? He said something along the lines of like, Nelson Aguilar has a QB football brain, like that he...
I think we've got
something that, along the lines of like how well he knows football for a wide receiver.
Yeah,
we got that. Can we hear that, Ryan?
I love Nelson. He's obviously very quick, very fast. He loves football. I don't know that I've seen a receiver who understands football as well as he does in terms of just general knowledge. He's almost like a quarterback out there, and all of our guys have worked really hard, and you know, we put in a lot of work together in the offseason. He was at, you know, all the throwing sessions, but, you know, that's what we're trying to grow from. It's like, remember that one time we were throwing and I told you to do this, let's try it on the next play. And we've all done that together as a group, so he's definitely done a good job, and we just got to keep consistency up with all those guys. And like I said, they all bring a different trait to the table. Cool. Thank you, guys.
Ooh, how much do you think Bill loves hearing that? He's like a quarterback brain. He knows football.
He's taking
so
over
well.
James White.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, does that sound like a guy the Patriots are going to be trying to trade? I don't know about all that.
But I
really think that, again, when I think his issues have largely been the positioning, and I think sometimes tracking the football, it hasn't necessarily been like, what are you doing? Like you're running the wrong route.
Like Johnny Smith.
Or something like that.
The worst of Johnny Smith running the wrong route.
It's been like, oh yeah, I'm in position, and then he's fighting the ball down the field. With Johnny Smith, I will say...
I should qualify. It's 2021 Johnny Smith I'm talking about.
Do you think Johnny Smith, is there more there this year? Because it's funny, because like second year understanding of the offense, and these guys come in, they're like, yeah we're going to change it up a little bit. And he's like, oh, great. But is this sort of scheme allowing, again, playmakers, him being one of them, are you seeing him more to the point where you can actually think he's a contributor here year two with the Pats?
So I think he will contribute. The question is, what do you expect? Like, I don't know that I'm expecting him to, you know, catch, what, 70 passes, you know, 700 yards or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I've been really interested to see how the different ways they've tried to get him the ball. They've used him more as a target on RPOs, which I found fascinating because I don't remember them doing a whole lot last year where they'll fake a run play. They got him on a bubble screen or a quick slant. He's been a nice short outlet for Jones. And I think that his route running is not necessarily like super crisp, but his athleticism, I think today on a couple of occasions, allowed him to separate. I think he shines mostly in the red zone. I don't know if that you're going to see necessarily him making huge plays in between the 20s all the time, though I think that's the goal, right? Get him the ball and let him run with it, and that's where you've seen some of the RPOs, some of the quick stuff. But in the goal line situations, he was drawing holding penalties all the time because his physicality is such that, I mean, he'll just...
From the Panthers players?
Yeah.
Okay, making sure this wasn't back.
Yeah, exactly. Like
from Patriots defenders.
Yeah, it's like he's at the top of the route, and he's just going right through them, and they can't deal with him, so they're holding him. He's jumping up over them. He's boxing him out in the end zone. And again, he had a nice little seam route sort of touchdown today where he just beat a guy nicely, and Mac Jones trusted him with a perfect pass, so... I mean, I think it's still a little early to say that, oh, yeah, this is going to be a breakout year for Jonnu Smith. But I think if nothing else, they are going to try to get him the football, I think, more than they did last year when he was one of the least targeted tight ends.
And, you know, the thing with Jonnu Smith, he was the first tight end he signed, right? Mm-hmm. He signed him, and then they went out and got Hunter Henry. And really, it was like the tight end, it was the touchdowns, the red zone stuff that kind of jumped out the year before in Tennessee. He had 8 touchdowns, but he only had 41 catches. For 448 yards. Like that's, and he was 35 the year before. Like that's who he is. He had 28 here.
Yeah.
Like if he just got another 10, he would have been basically on his career average.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how he just disappeared, a huge disappointment.
To incorporate
but you
him
just,
too.
If he goes out there and gives you 40, is that going to satisfy the appetite of people? Be like, okay, Janu finally checked in. It's only 12 more catches than he had last year, which was hugely disappointing.
I think the question
But that's
is,
who he is.
I think so.
So lower your expectations.
Yeah, and I think the question is going to be, if he only catches 40 balls, what are those 40 catches going to be?
Set the bar low.
Are you talking about eight of those are going to be touchdowns? Because I feel like something like that would, I don't know that that would be like, oh yeah, he's worth the money that we paid, like the big money we paid him. But that would definitely be like, okay, Jonnu Smith is a difference.
But isn't Hunter Henry offense. That guy in the red zone?
Yeah, like,
he was last
year.
You
know what I mean? He's going to like report. Flip, and it's going to be like, he's comfortable with Hunter Henry in the red zone. It's not going to just go to Jonnu Smith. I feel like if he comes out next year with 40 catches and 450 yards and two or three touchdowns, that's really who he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to feel like Jonnu Smith. I'll say, like, and yeah, I think they did try to get him involved, and sometimes it was bad luck. Sometimes it was Jonnu Smith and Mac Jones not being on the same page. I do think that, to an extent, like, this new offense and the way that they are trying to, kind of spread things out, get athletes on the move, he fits the bill perfectly for somebody who should benefit under that. And again, I've seen them trying to do new things with him. I mean, they've also done some old things with him where it's like, oh yeah, let's give you the ball in a jet sweep. But I feel like that was almost like that was how they got Jonnu Smith his one touch a game last year. And I felt like sometimes that wasn't enough. So, I mean, we'll see if they keep up some of this short target stuff and if he does stuff in the red zone.
Was Matty P calling plays?
Yep.
The whole time? No Joe Judge, none of that?
So what I heard, and this is Phil Perry tweeted this out, that he heard from some Panthers guys that they thought Bill Belichick might have been calling plays during that last 2 minute.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh,
that
boy.
The Panthers
Lombardi.
Players are walking around saying Bill was calling
I don't
plays?
Know about I don't know about the players. I think maybe
oh,
it's like
reporters,
or like somebody.
How come the Panthers reporters knew that and the Patriots reporters didn't know that?
That's a good question.
I mean, seriously, aren't you guys all sitting on the same hill there?
Yeah, and I don't know where he heard it from, but I will say that when I was watching, and this was during that, like towards that end of practice drive where the ones offense was out there, and even when the twos were out there, I saw Matt Patricia clearly radioing the plays. I did not see Joe Judge anywhere near that, though. Again, he kind of resumes his thing where during walkthroughs with like the backups, right? He'll mm-hmm. call plays or he'll do it during 7-on-7s. But anytime there's
the 11s.
Or like anywhere there's a remotely serious drill where it's competitive, Matt Patricia's usually the guy.
Okay, wait.
Up front
but I want to know what the Panthers reporters saw that made them come to the conclusion that Bill Belichick
right.
was calling plays.
Yeah, and because I didn't see that personally, and Bill can be kind of hard to track down at some points because he's
Phil
everywhere.
Perry's tweets.
But yeah, I think we should check it out.
Are you in that? It's a lot of this like a forming opinion now. I think Curran had it. Giardi had it. I don't even know if it was yesterday or not with Andrew Callahan, but that even though all things are pointing towards Matt Patricia calling plays, that it's actually Joe Judge that's going to be groomed, and that he could end up calling plays at some point this year or be the guy in the future.
And that was something Mike said with Andy Hart and I this weekend. And I feel like for me, like when I look at the way practice has been going, I just have not seen evidence that Joe Judge is going to be doing this for the start. Like he doesn't call plays for the starting offense. Like it just doesn't happen. Right. And I just find it a bit hard to believe, like just like. As difficult as this offense can be to take time with, and you got to invest time with it and all that, they've invested so much time in Matt Patricia being the guy calling plays that it would just be a bit jarring that, like, oh, yeah, like week one, when it really matters, Joe Judge is going to be doing it because we just haven't seen that evidence. I would be inclined to believe that. I mean, clearly there is a reason that Joe Judge was calling plays. I would be more inclined to believe that. Maybe it's, what if this thing doesn't work out with Patricia? Maybe they need him more on the offensive line. Maybe we prefer him in a different role, and let's see how Joe does with it. Or maybe it is a, you know what, if Gerard Mayo leaves next year for a coaching position, what if we bump Matt Patricia over to the defensive side where he's always been accustomed to being, and then we give Joe Judge a chance? I just, for right now, I feel like I'm not prepared to think that Joe Judge is going to call plays week one based on what we've seen. Now, Bill Belichick, I also am not wholly sure about because, again, every time I look up, it's Matt Patricia holding the thing. You know what I mean? So I think that maybe they're playing around with a couple of different things. Like, okay, if Patricia doesn't work out, or maybe like Bill's just like, okay, what if I want to do this? Like, what if I feel like at the end of the game, I really just want to take this walkie-talkie? Let me see how it feels. That's how I feel that it might be.
All right. He's Kyrie Thompson at WEEI.com talking a lot about the Patriots here. Joint practices wrap up today with the Patriots and Panthers down at Gillette. They do the real thing on Friday night when we come back. Hard Knocks Episode 2. Dan Campbell. Got to love some Dan Campbell, don't you? We'll play a little bit of that when we come back.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Back to Merloni, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
What are we? What makes us what we are? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's what we started with last year, guys. It's our core foundation, man. Grit. And what does it mean? Really, we'll go a little bit longer, we'll push a little harder, and we'll think a little deeper and a little sharper. Like, to me, it means we'll play anywhere. We'll play on grass. We'll play in turf. We'll go to a landfill. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
That is the great Dan Campbell.
I still don't get that.
Why would you want to be a handicapped
man?
I don't know.
He doesn't discriminate.
Why does he have one ass cheek? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, so I think that's what he's saying. Like, if I'm the handicapped man, I have one ass cheek. I'll still beat your ass. Like, okay, buddy.
I still don't get it.
He wants to play people in the landfill? Like, he wants to roll around in the trash? I don't know. This sounds like a very, very odd, like, kink
so
for him.
Dan Campbell, I'm trying to figure him out watching Hard Knocks. I love Hard Knocks. I watched the second episode last night. Full disclosure, I watched it after I went to a concert and had a martini and several glasses of wine.
Hello.
So you, it was a little foggy. But
some libations?
I do remember saying aloud, like, I'm kind of worried for Dan Campbell.
Were you counting curses again?
Seems like a completely unstable human being. Maybe that makes for a great football coach. So looking into episode 2, I don't know if either of you guys saw any of this, but they have this wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
This is a thing now that guys do, right? When they feel like they have been, like they were drafted too low, like they were passed over too much, they memorize the name of everyone who went before them.
Yes.
So he knows every single wide receiver who was picked before him. This is him rattling them off.
The draft experience was
with the fifth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft.
I can tell you all 16 receivers and where they went to college.
Jamar Chase,
LSU, Jalen Waddle,
Devontae Smith, wide receiver,
Alabama, Kadarius Toney, Florida, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell, Louisville, Terrace Marshall, LSU,
wide receiver, LSU, with the 77th pick,
Josh Palmer, Tennessee,
Josh Palmer,
De'Ami Brown, UNC, Amari Rodgers, Clemson, Nico Collins, Michigan, Anthony Schwartz, Auburn,
with the 109th pick,
and Des Fitzpatrick, Louisville.
With the 112th selection in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver, USC.
So, yeah, he's got him memorized.
Good for him.
He's that's the thing, right? Like Tom Brady has that, and all the guys that went before him and had
all
no success.
All 198.
No. Yeah, but he'll like rattle off all these names of like, guys who went in his.
Lou,
know,
if I said Silvio Sinsali, Tong Buckman, and Jason Myers,
you guys,
know
drafted
what I'm
right
about.
In front of me.
Those are the three guys that went before you in the 10th round, the 1993 amateur draft.
Did they even see the big leagues?
No way.
Of course not.
No, I think the only guy.
Bastards.
Two picks after you, by the way. R.A. Dickey. Two picks after you.
Hey.
I didn't know that.
He sucked until he figured out throwing knuckleball.
So I want to move on. Their whole coaching staff over in Detroit is like all ex-players. All ex-players. One of them is Hank Fraley, who, by the way, went to my high school.
Hey, that's cool.
Gaithersburg High School in Maryland.
There's no connection.
In 1995, he took them to the state championship.
Mm-hmm.
Go Trojans. Yeah, best mascot ever. Well, he has a son who they filmed just, I guess he hangs around the team all the time, this kid. He's probably like around Mason's age, maybe a year younger. And he just talks crap to all the players. Can we hear Hank Fraley's son?
Get up. Let's go. Let's go, stand up. You're the only one down. Frank, why are you slacking right now?
Dude, your trash talk sucks.
Frank, did you see me trying to make him hit the sled the other day? You couldn't even dent it.
Yeah, I could.
You couldn't even dent it.
I got it up. Casey, ready to get whooped in some pong? Gonna make you run in ping pong. I'm gonna make you run and run up the score.
Who's got you right now? Who's your daddy? Ping pong. That's what I thought.
Not you. Not you.
What do you call James Bond taking a bath? 007.
I like it. Talking trash.
I don't remember who it was who turned around and was like, your trash talk sucks.
I got to know who that was. Got to know.
Pretty good.
That is good. I like it.
I mentioned Dan Campbell being a little bit unhinged. This is the first preseason game that the Detroit Lions played. This is his message to the team right before the game.
Oh, good. Hey, morning. Just so, man, we're all on the same page.
Here's the one thing I'm going to lose my over. I will go ape, man. If it's later in the game and you guys are out, some of you guys are out, and your teammates are out there, and some of these guys are scratching and clawing for spots, and I see you jacking around, you're looking up in the stands, you're laughing, you're not paying attention, you're being disrespectful to your teammate, I'm going to lose it. Just so we're on the same page. All good, man. All good. That would be the only thing. This is going to be fun, man. We were talking about it as a staff. It's going to be fun, man. I cannot wait to watch you guys play. We can't wait to watch you play. You're going to be able to cut it loose and have fun, man.
It's so weird.
I'm sorry. That dude sounds like my high school coach.
Was that nervous laughter,
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, coach.
That reminds me of, like, in a tournament game my junior year. A coach got so pissed off, like, he actually, like, shoved a kid into the locker and, like, had his hands around his throat. Like,
what?
That whole thing.
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, no, you definitely can't.
Not anymore.
You definitely can't. And
those
then,
are
like,
good old days.
He tried to turn over a new leaf the next couple of days at practice. And so he, like, tried to warn us. Like, there was a temperature meter. Like, guys, I'm getting really pissed off. Like, and I'm just like, I don't know. That's giving me that kind of vibe right now.
It's
like,
lose it.
He was giving that speech wearing a hat that just said grit. I'm not making that up. He actually was. Okay, so this was his message. They lost that first preseason game, which
you don't say.
Kind of like, who cares? It's preseason. This was his message after the first preseason game.
Look, that's frustrating, you know. It's frustrating because you want to win that game. And we should have won that game, but we didn't earn it. You guys know that. We didn't earn it. Man, we did some good things early. When things don't go right, it's probably your own fault. It's probably our own fault. Guys being selfish, not trusting their teammates. It's just a little stuff, man. But that's the little stuff in this league that bites you in the ass. It is, and it always will be. You guys have been in this league, understand that. Some of you young guys, this is probably it for your opportunity. This is probably it. And I'm not trying to be a turd. That's not what this is about. But it is reality. You got to make the most of every opportunity when they come up. That's the reality. Man, we did some really good things. We really did. But it's always the little things, man. So all we got to do is clean up all the little shit.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. Why do I want Detroit to just have a good year?
Because they haven't for decades.
I know. And it's not because of that. It's just this guy. Like, I don't know if he's a head coach, going to be a head coach in this league or not. But I kind of like him. Like, he's probably a position coach, right? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. He's probably a position coach. But I don't know. I kind of like him. I think he would be
a hell of a position coach.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Once he probably most likely gets fired from the Detroit Lions, he would be a hell of a position coach.
No,
so
I
the funniest
like
thing about watching this season so far is I think it was the last 10 minutes of last night's episode was the first time that you actually heard the name Jared Goff. Like, they have gone, you know how Hard Knocks goes. Like,
we don't want to put too
is
much
like,
pressure on
Oh, here's who the quarterback is. It's either, like, a young gun coming up. Like, when they had the Chargers, it was all about Justin Herbert and the hair and everybody being impressed with him and everything.
They went to Derek Carr's house and filmed him talking about, you know, I got to make sure I'm ready for my guys because I owe
Falcon
it to them.
Season, it was, like, a whole episode around Matt Ryan and who he was at BC and everything and being, like, such a grown-up in the league. Like, they haven't even shown Jared Goff. whatsoever. Like, if you had no experience, if you were an alien who landed on Earth and you were watching Hard Knocks, you would think that there was no such thing as a quarterback in football. That is how little airtime they've given to anything.
Well, they probably interviewed him a few times and were like, "Yeah, just cut
this. Ain't it? Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of that. We're trying to make this entertaining. And maybe I don't know if he's doing it on purpose, but the dude's got no personality. No. Get rid of it. Right?
Well, it's funny.
Don't include it.
A couple years ago,
because Derek Carr was all over it.
Well, they had Goff during the Rams season, and he was at one point they like zeroed in on him. He didn't know where the sun rose and set.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Usually,
he just sat there and was like,
"Like Carr was a huge part of the one in Vegas."
He was like, "People know that? I didn't know that. That's not common."
He went to Cal. What? How do you not know that?
Yes,
he didn't go to Cal.
Yeah.
He played football.
Yeah, he played football at Cal. Yeah, he played football.
It's like Kyrie, your other Kyrie down at Duke. He went to Duke. He's a smart. Now he went there for a year.
Yeah,
played basketball.
Yeah. Exactly, he played basketball. Yeah.
Anyway, Hard Knocks. Dan Campbell, I think we're all rooting for the Lions to have a
good
season.
I am. I'm rooting for the Lions. Go Lions.
Well, I'm not because I'm a Bears fan, but, you know.
Oh, there you go.
They can win the other ones.
You got your own issues.
I've got my own problems. I'm not going to deny it.
All right. I think I need to rewatch that episode.
Yeah.
Coming up, we are going to talk more Patriots with Kyrie Thompson, Patriots writer from WEEI.com. He'll be with us through the end of the show. We got to take a real quick break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.